Well, this morning, we will be looking at the tabernacle, part four, specifically about the brazen laver. And here's the opening to the fence around the tabernacle. This was where the beautifully colored gate we talked about would have been. First thing you'd be seeing right as you came in would be the brazen altar. The sacrifice was made. Atonement was made right there. And then the next thing you'd see as you came in would be this brazen laver. It was between the altar and the tabernacle proper, the holy place and the holies of holies. And this laver is really what we're going to look at today. Once again, as we look to this, I pray that it's not just informational, but that it's transformational, where we transform our lives as we go to this word, this wonderful, matchless word. And not just transformational, but relational, where what we're looking at today from God's word will help us in our relationship with our God, to grow that relationship. So if you would turn your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. The book of Exodus, chapter 30. Everyone got the Bibles? Good. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, we'll start in verse 17. And this section, there's not a whole lot about this laver. But when you see where it's positioned and what its function is, it does symbolize a lot. It is a wonderful figure for us today in our walk, in our relationship with God. So Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver. Now I'm going to stop right there. A laver is like a basin to wash in. Okay? Brazen laver. Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Verse 19. So we know where it is, right? Verse 18, we know where it is. It's between the altar where they would burn the sacrifices, offer the sacrifices upon, and the actual, what we called last week, the door into the holy of a holy place, into the tabernacle itself. Verse 19, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Why Aaron and his sons? Who were Aaron and his sons? They were priests. And that tabernacle part, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies would be for the high priest only, but for the priests, that was for the priests only. The priests only did service in the tabernacle. Priests only. So it's for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. So was it for bathing? No. It was to wash hands and feet. What do hands and feet emblemize, you know, the service and the work, the life is what that would signify. Now get this in verse 20. So when we're talking priests now, not everybody else, not everyone could come to the courtyard and offer sacrifice for atonement. And the priests had to do that for themselves as well. But this laver before the tabernacle, verse 20, and when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they, what? die not. So what would happen to the priests if they didn't wash their hands and feet and they went into the tabernacle? They would die. Or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them. To who? The priest. Even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. So, a statute forever, and this is dealing with the priests, dealing with Aaron and his offspring. They were to be the priests. Not everybody else could be the priest. In fact, there once was a king of Judah who decided he wanted to go into that area and burn incense and do things like the priest did. That fella became leprous, that king, because it wasn't his to do, even the king of Judah. So this is very important. Only the priest got to go into the tabernacle. The tabernacle proper, not the courtyard, but the actual tabernacle. Now, what made priests priests in the Old Testament? They were born into it. They were born into it. They were the family of Aaron. That's how they were priests. They were of the tribe of Levi. You know, all beagles are dogs, but not all dogs are beagles, right? All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. So, this is what made a priest, he was born into it. God set apart the tribe of Levi to serve him. God set apart the family of Aaron to be priests. God set them apart special. So what made a priest is he was born into it by God's direction, right? Now, the next thing is, what makes a priest, what makes honorable priests honorable priests? Is that they did the will of God and they followed the word of God. I don't have time to get into it today. But when you read in the Old Testament, you can see examples of where the priests didn't follow the direction of God. That they, even though they were separated apart, they were sanctified as priests by God's direction, born into the family of Aaron. What made an honorable priest an honorable priest was that they did the word of God. They did service to God the way God wanted service to be done. So this laver was right before the tabernacle, the what they call the door of the tabernacle. They would wash their hands and their feet. Hands and feet symbolizing the service, the living, the service unto God. And so we have the altar, and you would say, well, wasn't the atonement enough? Wasn't the atonement enough for them to be in that system justified? Well, the altar was where they would get atonement. Today, where's our atonement? The altar of the cross. Isn't that enough? Now, when you look at this, where the priests still had to, they would wash their hands and their feet before they would go in to do service. And not just any kind of service, it was service to God. Today, when we look at this, So what's the brass laver symbolize to us? Why would we need any more cleansing? Aren't we cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. Final. Full stop. Are we atoned with God by the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. Full stop. Absolutely. Are we justified before God by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Full stop. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Can anyone pluck us from the hand of God? You can read that in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, no one, not even yourself, can pluck yourself out of the hand. So I'm not saying that, well, we need to do a little bit more to be righteous. We need to do a little bit more to be justified. No. We have faith in Jesus Christ, and it's in the Word of God that God is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So do we have to like get gitchy about this laver? Like, what does that represent? It represents the Word of God. It represents the final cleansing before service is provided for the priests. Now, you and I today, we're not priests. Or are we? You can read in the Word of God in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. What does that mean? In service to God. In service to God. So when it comes to this final cleansing for the service of God, we're going to look at that a little bit today. The altar was for justification, for righteousness. The laver was for cleansing. For cleansing. For sanctifying. Sanctification, yes, it does mean holiness, but the big meaning for sanctification is something that is set apart special. Something that is set apart special. Someone who is set apart special. And in the Word of God, sanctification for us is we are set apart special unto God. We're set apart special unto God. So when it comes to this, well, why would I need, if this laver represents the Word of God, why would I need more cleansing? If I'm righteous and I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm also, it says, I'm sanctified by the offering of Jesus Christ once and for all. So what is this? What is this that the Word of God would do? What would this last final cleansing do? Because they went to the altar. The atonement was made. And now they're going across the courtyard into the tabernacle, and they better do this or they would what? Die. So is it a big deal? Big deal. Big deal to God. I would say that if you don't do something, you would die is pretty non-negotiable, pretty there. So when we look at our lives in light of this, how does this transform us? How does this encourage and develop a relationship with God? Remember, the whole purpose of that holy place was where the priests would represent the people and they would go in and they would do service unto God. In here. Right in here. To the south side would be the golden candlestick. To the north side would be the table of showbread. The showbread, there was one loaf for each tribe. So there's 12 of those loaves in there. They're for God. They represented their offering unto God. Their living unto God. Now, as you would wash, they would walk in here and they would do service. in light of the Word of God, you can see, like when it talks about Jesus Christ and His church and the relationship between a husband and wife, the washing in water, washing of water by the Word of God. You can see in the when Jesus is talking to His disciples, "You are clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you," that the Word of God is a very cleansing thing. So when we see our relationship with God, we know that we're justified, we know that we are redeemed, and we know that we are also sanctified. That's our standing before God. That cannot change. That has been purchased by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about our service? What about our living to God? What about those priests who didn't abide by the rules of that God had laid forth? They didn't last very long. God didn't monkey around with His word. When the whole nation of Judah finally decided that they weren't going to worship God as He wanted, they were carried away. They were carried away. They were actually saved by being carried away in God's loving kindness towards them. When we look at our lives today, we're very important to God. Did you ever wake up in the morning and say, "My life is very important to God"? It might be a nice thing to think about. My life is very important to God today. Our lives, our purpose is to glorify God. But I'm just a little kid. How can I glorify God? By living His word, I glorify God. But I'm just an old man. How can I glorify God? By living His word. Living His word. Now it comes to this brass laver. It wasn't made from the same collection of brass that the altar was made from. If you take your Bibles and go to chapter 38, we can see where the brass came from for this laver. In chapter 38 and in verse 8, 38:8, "And He made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembled," which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The brass from the looking glasses. This was the finest brass. This was the finest brass because they could burnish it or polish it so beautifully that it looked like glass. You could look at your reflection in these looking glasses. Isn't that something? This collection, and it was given by the ladies that that you can see in the Old Testament. Remember Samuel's mom. You can look at in the New Testament or the birth of Christ, the story of Anna, the lady they served at the temple then, but before there was a temple, there was this tabernacle, and these ladies gave up. It's quite a prized possession, is a brass mirror. It's basically a mirror, but no glass, brass. So they gave up something quite valuable to them, and it was of the finest brass, and that's what this laver was made of. And they said, some of the scholars, you know, how reflective it was. It was full of water, but how reflective that shining brass made from, like I said, the finest brass of they could use them as mirrors. That brass had to be pretty flawless, pretty pure. So that's what they made this thing of. And I think about us in our lives, The Word of God represents a cleansing to us. We are sanctified. We are set apart special. Just like the priests were sanctified, they were set apart special to the service of God. They were set apart by birth. Guess what? We are set apart by birth also. We are set apart by the new birth to serve God. All of us. All of us. Isn't that wonderful? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says that you of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Justification is what that righteousness means. And sanctification and redemption, full payment. We've been set apart special to the service of God by birth, by the new birth. It was never God's intention for us to say, oh, I'm born again, now I can live like hell. Right? I'm born again. All bets are off. I've got eternal life. Woohoo! Heaven bound. Devil can't get me. I can do what I want to do. That isn't the point. God wants us to have a relationship with him. So, David, you have a son here. What can keep him from being your son? Nothing. But what if he treats you really, really bad? What if every time the phone calls for you and Donna, and it comes up, it says Tim. And you and Donna do rock, paper, scissors, shoot to see who answers the phone. Right? How is the relationship going there? It would be rough. It wouldn't be as much as it could be. And that's the point. We want our relationship with God to be as much as it can be. Where this Word of God is a cleansing to us. As we look into it, we see what God would want us to do, how to live, what we are to Him. Oh yeah, I could be born again and live like hell. I could be born again and rob banks. I could be born again and watch porn all day long. But that would not be you laughing. Would you like to be sitting there watching porn and then have Jesus walk up behind you? Hey, what are you doing there? Well, would you like to be mean to somebody at school? Mean to somebody at work? Mean to somebody in the town? And have Jesus walk up behind you? Right when you're being mean? He's like, man, I thought you were living for me. I thought I was your Lord. The Word of God cleanses us in our walk. Just like the hands and the feet of the priest were the only thing washed in that laver, because it signified what is the service unto God. Hands and feet. Some old, what do they call those oaths people would take? My hands, my feet, right? They would say that because that's the serving unto a Lord. So we have this. And I think about the Word of God. I'd like to wrap up in the book of 2 Timothy. And I would like this to be the really crescendo to this. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, it shouldn't be the word but there. It really should be now or moreover, a continuation of thought. In a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And it's no coincidence that the next verse, guys, says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and to them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Oh my. What kind of vessel do we want to be? A vessel of honor or the bedpan? Both of them pretty darn necessary. What kind of vessel do we want to be? By looking into the Word of God, it cleanses us. Not just looking at it, but living it. Remember about the one who's a doer of the Word and not just a hearer? How the hearer, the one who hears the Word but doesn't do it, is like a man looking at a mirror. And straightway he forgets what kind of man he is. The Word of God shows us what kind of men we are, what kind of women we are. That's what the Word of God shows us. We can look into this Word and to live it, not just to hear about it. And you may say, well, what really can I do for God today? When we live the Word of God, we praise God. And we, have you ever heard of the word coup, Indian coup, where they would run up and they would whap the enemy on the head and then get back and not be. Every time we live the Word of God in the face of the temptations and the pressure of this world, it's a coup for God. It's a glory to God. Every single time. Every single time we do that. So this wonderful laver represented that final cleansing before they would go in, a cleansing for service, for the service of God. And praise God that we get to live our lives today with the help of the Holy Spirit that's inside us, with the help of the Word of God to show us God's ways and to cleanse us. But it's in light of the justification we have, not despite it. We get to cleanse ourselves from the Word to give and to live and to serve God in light of what Christ has done. Not despite it. Amen? Amen. Amen.